Good evening. Welcome back, everyone. Going to have some of our travelers back and some who weren't able to be here. We're so glad that you've been able to join us tonight. We're also appreciative of our visitors who are present this evening. You so frequently come by and visit us on Sunday evenings, and it means a lot to us that we can share this time together with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ask that as always, we come prepared to honor God and worship God, and to study from His Word in a way that hopefully challenges us to be who God wants us to be. We've been talking through the fruit of the Spirit, and that list, as found in Galatians chapter 5, contains a number of qualities that describe what God intends to do with the life of His followers. And so tonight, we're going to talk about the quality of goodness. As we begin to talk about goodness, I would like to comment on the importance of light. Now, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." The world is in desperate need of the children of God being committed to shining the light of the glory and goodness of God. And as we think about the goodness of God, and as we think about the light of the world, it relates to the fruit of the Spirit. The qualities that are outlined in the fruit of the Spirit are qualities that shine. They are qualities that again, reflect God's plan and reflect God's Word. And in our reading in Ephesians chapter 5, he tells them in verse 9, verse 8, he says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then he says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." And as he talks about the fruit of the light, one of those qualities, one of the evidence that you are the light of the world is going to be found in this description of goodness. And so you have two different lists. You have the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the light, and they both contain goodness. And again, as we bear the fruit of the Spirit, we shine a light. When we bear the fruit of goodness, we shine a light into this dark world that we are a part of. And again, the world needs light, and the world needs goodness. So let's talk about goodness. Go ahead and open your Bibles back to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, again, we have the list of the fruit of the Spirit. I'd like to begin by reading that, and again, noting that what we see in this list are descriptions of those who are seeking to live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. And he says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And so this quality, goodness. Now as you talk about goodness, it's kind of a hard word to define. Actually, this form of the word goodness is only found four times in the New Testament. And you can think about the way that we might use the word good. It's got a broad range of situations in which we might use it. I would say I have a good dog. And I would also say that I hope to be a good husband. And I mean quite a different thing in the use of that term good. Good can describe more a moral quality. It could describe something that is effective or just generally positive. And so here we have this quality of God's Spirit, and it is described as goodness. And so exactly what does goodness mean? Well, in one broad sense, the term refers to basic human goodness, or an active sense of goodwill towards others. And so when you see and behold a act of generosity, what you are seeing is goodness. When you see someone willing to go the so-called second mile when it was not expected or not demanded of them, that is an expression of goodness. We sometimes speak of a deed that is done out of the goodness of one's heart. And that idea, that expression, is probably a good sense on how to understand this term. You can recall this was evidence of Jesus and his work and of his love for others in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. In describing Jesus, what did you see in Jesus' life? He was one who was filled with goodness, and because he was filled with goodness, you saw active generosity and active goodwill towards others. And so in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, you read, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And so again, this act of going out and doing good is goodness, and the type of goodness that God expects us to have. In addition to that, goodness is going to be shown in moral uprightness. Back to Ephesians chapter 5, where we just read a moment ago, he's describing this aspect of goodness. Goodness can be described as an unswerving allegiance to what is right. It suggests integrity, it suggests soundness of mind and purity of mind, as well as soundness and purity of actions. We are ones who are going to promote godliness because we are good. And that's the type of use of the word goodness in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, again, when he says, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." And so this goodness, again, is a pursuit of what is right, a pursuit of what is good, a pursuit of what is holy. And so as we understand goodness, it is an act of goodwill towards others, and it is a moral purity, a moral uprightness, an unswerving allegiance to what is good and true. And put these two ideas together, and we have a pattern of goodness. I would suggest there's a pattern of goodness, and that pattern is one who is filled with the goodness of God with a servant's heart to share it. One filled with the goodness of God with a servant's heart to share it. And that is the pattern, that is the goal, that it describes our pursuit of goodness as those who are striving to walk by the Spirit and live according to the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Well, as we've been doing in this lesson, I'd like to consider an example. And again, there are numerous examples that we could look at as examples of goodness, but I wanted to look at Barnabas, because I believe Barnabas fits the pattern very well. Barnabas was a child of God who was filled with the goodness of God, and throughout his life, you see evidence of the goodness of God in his desire to share that goodness in a variety of ways. So go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, we are introduced to Barnabas, though Barnabas is a part of a group of people that we are actually introduced to in Acts chapter 2, though we do not read of his name until Acts chapter 4. But in Acts chapter 4, you read, "Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement." And so here is our character. He was initially named Joseph, but the apostles are going to change his name. They're going to give him a new name, a name with significance that describes the type of character and personality that Barnabas had. And so if you turn back to Acts chapter 2, this is an exciting time in church history. As you turn back to Acts chapter 2, you can remember Peter on the day of Pentecost began preaching the gospel, and on that day 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom of God. So at the end of Acts 2, we read at 46 and 47 of this community, this excitement as they are sharing the work of God together. They're sharing the breaking of bread. They're sharing learning and fellowship of the apostles' teaching. And you read of this exciting time. "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so we have, again, an overview description of what it was like at that time. And at some point, whether it be the day of Pentecost or shortly after, you have Barnabas joining that group. And so as we're introduced to Barnabas, we see him appearing in the presence of the apostles, but he's already been around Christians. He's been excited. He's been rejoicing. He's been learning and fellowshipping other children of God. And so he's a part of this joyful multitude with the newfound faith in God, serving the resurrected King Jesus. And so in Acts chapter 4, as a part of that group, in verse 47, it says that he, in verse 37 of Acts chapter 4, he owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And what Barnabas does here is he joins numerous Christians in giving to help support the needy among them. Now again, what's happening at this point in history is you have Jews from all over the ancient world who have traveled to Jerusalem in order to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And as they are there, God makes his will known. He pours out his Spirit, and Jewish people begin to become believers, obey the gospel, and become Christians. And now we have a period of time where you have all these people who are away from their homes, away from their normal occupations and way of life, but yet it is necessary and important for them to stay in Jerusalem so that they can learn what they need to learn from the apostles. And so you have, I guess, some of the locals, some of the brethren who are from there, making deals, selling things, sacrificing of their own, so that these brethren from foreign lands are able to stay longer and continue this joyful fellowship. And so Barnabas joins the happy Christians from Jerusalem in sharing with those who had need. And of course, Barnabas was not his initial name. It was Joseph. And the apostles, as they meet Barnabas, they gave him this new name. And as the text says, that name means son of encouragement. I wonder if they change other people's name in Acts chapter 4. We know a lot of people gave, and I suppose a lot of them had, just as Barnabas had, generous hearts and were excited to be a part of this great work. But they changed Barnabas' name. And so there's something about Barnabas' character who actually motivated the apostles to give a name that describes this encouraging quality to Barnabas' character. I would say what they saw in Barnabas was someone who, out of the goodness of his heart, gave to help others do and learn what is right. And throughout the life of Barnabas, we are constantly seeing this quality of goodness. Remember in Acts chapter 9, there was a man named Saul. He was already drugged Christians into prison, men and women alike. And in chapter 9, verse 1, we read he is breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. But as he is traveling to the road to Damascus, in verse 4, Jesus appears to him, and everything changes for Saul. Ananias is sent to go teach Saul the gospel. But he only does so reluctantly. He only does so reluctantly because he's heard of this man, and he knows the great harm that Saul had done to the people of Jesus Christ. And so you can understand there's a hesitancy there. But Saul obeys the gospel and he begins to make huge life changes. He's changing friends. He's changing peers. He's changing the whole entire direction of his life. And he finds a home with the church in Damascus, but at some point he needs to flee for his safety, and he finds himself in Jerusalem. And as he comes to Jerusalem, notice verse 26 of chapter 9. We read, when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. So here is Saul in Jerusalem, a faithful Christian. He's already paid the price, but because of his preceding reputation, the Christians in Jerusalem do not trust him. But at that point, the son of encouragement, Barnabas, steps in and he reaches out to Saul. And what you see in this act is the goodness of Barnabas. The goodness of Barnabas. The desire for Paul to have the good things, or Saul to have the good things that all of God's children are sharing with one another. And so in verses 27 and 28 we read, "But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus, and he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord." And so here is the son of encouragement at work. Out of the goodness of his heart, he intervenes on behalf of Saul, and he removes that divide that was present between Saul and the brethren at Jerusalem, and Paul is now with them. Well, in Acts chapter 11, we have an exciting time again in church history. Now, Gentiles are beginning to hear the news. And there is now a congregation in the city of Antioch. And in that congregation, you have both Jewish believers and Greek believers. And so, again, this is a new situation. This is a new, exciting point where Jesus is breaking down the former barriers that stood between the Jews and the Gentiles. And so what are we going to do about this congregation? Read with me 22 through 24 of Acts chapter 11. "The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord." And so here there are now Christians in Antioch. Well, they need some help. They need some encouragement. Let's send Barnabas. He was their go-to guy. He was the man who was right for this open door, for this opportunity. And he goes and he meets with those new converts. He rejoices with them. He encourages them all with a resolute heart to be true to the Lord. And why did he do this? Well, because Barnabas was a good man. And what made him good? Well, he was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. You see, that was Barnabas. He was filled with goodness. And because he was filled with goodness, it was a natural thing for him to share that goodness with others. Well, one more example of Barnabas, and that is Barnabas and Saul, I guess, part two, right? Because while Barnabas is in Antioch, at some point, he sends for Saul of Tarsus and has him brought to the church in Antioch. And what I'll say about Barnabas' goodness is it bore immeasurable fruit. I mean, what would the church have been like? Or where would God have risen up leaders if it wasn't for Barnabas bringing Saul of Tarsus to Antioch? And so in verses 25 and 26 of Acts chapter 11, we read, "And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year there, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." And so here is Barnabas' work. He goes, he gets Saul of Tarsus, and Barnabas and Saul labor side by side and teach multiple people, numerous people learn about the gospel, learn about the truth, with Saul and Barnabas laboring side by side. Again, Barnabas, because of his goodness, was an instigator of good work. Because of his goodness, took the opportunities, and not only took advantage of them himself, but he was able to put other people in a position to grow and develop and become leaders themselves. Barnabas was a leader who took initiative to do what is right, all while helping other people become useful and doing what is right themselves. And of course, in Acts chapter 13, in verses 1 through 3, Barnabas and Saul's work had only just begun. They would be sent out from Antioch, and they would begin traveling the known world, bringing the gospel to foreign lands, and baptizing and teaching many, establishing many congregations, enduring trials, severe trials, but yet encouraging one another with boldness in this great work. And so as we think about goodness, Barnabas illustrates goodness. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. And because he was a good man, he took the good things that God had filled him with, and with a servant's heart, passed them along. And we see this with his physical generosity, and we see this with his spiritual encouragement of others. All of these were evidence, again, of the goodness in him and a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. So as we think about Barnabas, and as we think about this quality of goodness, why is it that we often have such a difficult time with goodness? I would suggest that the problem comes from this area of life. We are filled up with the wrong things. This is the challenge of goodness. If I want to be good in the way that Barnabas is good, in the way that the Bible teaches us to be good, the only way that is possible is if I fill myself up with the good things that God has provided me. It's too easy to be filled up with the wrong things. I turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus describes, again, the origin of sin, the origin of wickedness. And the origin of sin takes place in the heart, and it's based upon what these people are consuming. What they're putting into their hearts, what they're putting into their lives, what they're consuming, what they're drinking up, that's what's coming out. Matthew 12, 34 and 35, we read, "Ye brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil." Do you see the contrast, right? Why is it that good people bring out good things and evil people bring out evil things? Well, that's what they have from within. You bring out to others what you are holding and harvesting in your heart. And so what will be the fruit of our life if we are constantly filling ourselves up with the wrong things? Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. It's for this reason that we are to take great care of what we are listening to and how we listen and receive what is good and what is evil. Because, again, what we take in will have a multiplying effect as to what we put out. And so in Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, "And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." And so be careful. What you consume, what you listen to, perhaps on a daily basis, will have a tremendous impact on what you have to give to others. If what you're consuming is evil, you'll have more evil to pass on. If what you're consuming is good, you will have more good to pass on. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And again, this is a list that describes our day and age, our country, our people. And not just ours, but many others. But a tendency of men is to fill themselves up with the wrong things. And so in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, he says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossip, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Did you notice in that list, Paul describes these people as loving people? There are three things that they're described as loving: self, money, and pleasure. So if I'm a lover of pleasure, If I fill myself up with pleasure, if I'm on a never-ending quest for pleasure, well, I'm not going to have much good to give. If I'm a lover of money, if I'm on a constant quest for more money, well, I'm not going to find myself with any room for goodness to share with others. If I'm a lover of self, if I'm constantly consumed with my wants and my needs and my desires, I'm going to have a difficult time seeing past those needs, wants, and desires. I will have so much focus on myself that there will be no room for anything else. And the cost will be, it will be impossible to be filled up with God's goodness. I won't have what I need from Him, and I will not be equipped to show goodness to others. Goodness is something that takes an active intention. We have to actively consider what we are filling ourselves up with and actively consider the interest of others. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Actually, 3 and 4. We read, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so here, what we're called to do is again take an active interest in others, in other people's interest, and then decide to act upon it. But you have to get out of yourself first. We have to stop filling ourselves up with ourselves if we're going to have anything good to give. But this is our challenge. If we are filled up with the wrong things, we will be unable to give good things to others. Well, we need a desire to be good. And that desire to be good starts with a desire to fill ourselves up with God's goodness. It won't happen automatically. It won't happen naturally. It will happen because of an active intention to fill myself up with the goodness of God in order to share that goodness with others. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay, this is one of the other occasions where this word goodness that's found in the fruit of the Spirit in this form is used. But again, notice what he says you have to have. He says, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power." So he fills us with the desire. We fill ourselves up with him, and that prompts a desire for goodness. Romans 15, verse 14. Romans 15, verse 14. Paul writes, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another." So I'm convinced you're filled with all goodness. And what's the result of that goodness being in them? What's the result of being filled up with the goodness of God? You know, you have every desire for good works, and you are able to admonish effectively. You know the old expression, you are what you eat. You become what you feed on. You know, sometimes we might have a struggle with our health. We might have a desire to be healthy, but until we change our diet, our physical well-being will not follow. You can't have a desire to be healthy without making a decision to eat healthy. And you can't be filled with the goodness of God without having a desire to open your mouth and consume what God has given you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This morning, we talked a little bit about meditation. And this is another passage that talks about the importance of having our minds dwell on the good things that God has given us. And so in Philippians 4, verse 8, we read, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, meditate on these things. So as we consume the goodness of God, as we fill our reservoir up with His goodness, we then can become those who are equipped to live good lives and give good things. But we will never be able to give what we do not have. We will never be able to share what we do not possess ourselves. Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. One of my favorite illustrations of this point is shown in Jesus' words in John 7, verses 37 and 38, which again describes this process of filling ourselves up with good things. And the result is, as we fill ourselves up with Him, we have from ourselves an ability to give. John 7, 37 and 38, we read, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.'" So we fill up with the water that Jesus offers us, and then from our innermost being flow rivers of living water. We fill ourselves up with the life and the light that Jesus has shined, and the result is we have life and light to give. And as we fill ourselves up with the goodness of God, we will then have the opportunity to overflow with that goodness, to bear good fruit. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And read with me verse 10. So we'll start in verse 9. We'll read 9 and 10. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respect, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So, filled up with the knowledge and goodness of God, to the point that we begin to bear the good fruit that comes from having the Spirit of God in us. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, as we fill ourselves up with the goodness of God, as we continually feast on what He has to give us, and we empty ourselves of ourselves, again, the result is an awareness and an ability to provide what is good to others. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, we read, "See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people." Seek what is good for one another and for all. Again, as I think about this point, let me ask this question. What do we want from our lives? You know, what do we want from our lives? What would we like to see in ourselves tomorrow? What type of character do we want to develop? When I think of goodness, I think most people would want to say, I'm a good person. And that's something that lots of people say. A lot of people desire. But the problem is we're going to struggle with goodness all the way until the day that we finally learn that we have to be filled up with God's goodness in order to have goodness to share. And if that's what you want, this is how you get it. If you want to be a good person, fill yourselves up with the goodness of God. One final point. Again, another challenge of goodness is we tend to grow weary in well-doing. And this is a real challenge. I turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And read with me verses 9 and 10. We read, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We'll also turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and read verse 13. Paul writes, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." So it's a real challenge, isn't it? And as we've talked about this morning, the ability to not grow weary in well-doing is going to require regular, personal, and spiritual maintenance. And as we were encouraged this morning to pray and meditate, if I am going to continue being one who dispenses water, living water from my life, I'm going to have to constantly be filling myself up with again, the goodness of God so that I have goodness to share. One conclusion, are you seeking spiritual things? Are you bearing the fruit of God's Spirit? Goodness is evidence of my sincere commitment to serving God. And so the call to action tonight is, may we fill ourselves up with God's goodness so that we can share it with others. Well, are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? And we're about ready to sing the song that Mark has selected, "Is It For Me?" And it's a beautiful song that talks about the beauty of God's plan, the goals that He has for all who follow Him, and the good things that God has to give can be yours if you will take them, if you will humbly listen to the commands of God and respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ. And if you're subject to the invitation, if you're ready to turn your life over to Him, He's going to make you good. Let us assist you with